thank you so much for being here. We're taking you up to Thursday Night Football. John, that's the final call, and it feels like it's the same damn call that we've now heard for at least three straight years, right? Like, you even hear Will Fleming say, hey, at least they got it to the end of September. At least we had something to talk about for the beginning of the week. But you know, they're pretenders. You just have to say these are one of the pretend teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet out today, fake contenders, which essentially is the same thing. And
it's like Dave Grohl's baby on the way.
Yeah, look. And this is a team, because here's the deal. You can tell me they made some progress this year, and I would agree with you. Jaron Duran took a big step forward. Tristan Casas came back from his injury and has looked mostly good, especially early on. Brian Bayo and Tanner Houck definitely took some steps forward. So sure, there were some steps forward. Your farm system looks good. But KJ, I ask you this question, and it's partly rhetorical, but you can answer. What city do we do sports radio in, and what city do we root for a baseball team in?
This is Poughkeepsie, New York, folks, because that's what it feels like.
Well, I was going to say, it feels like Pittsburgh. Like, am I doing Pirates sports radio? Like,
well,
it shouldn't just be that.
Even the Pirates, you say, they have a burgeoning star. Will they be able to keep them? That's a different scenario. You could say, all right, some can now make the argument, is Rafael Devers a star?
In Tampa Bay?
Even Tampa is fine. Tampa's a 20-size market. Don't knock those markets.
That's my point, is that this team is operating
this
like
that. This is Poughkeepsie, like, New York. Like, this is literally like, go have a beer across the street from the rail yard and then walk over and go see the minor league team. That's what it feels like.
Well, and that's the issue, too, is like the Red Sox are one of the few franchises. There's probably five or six total if you add it up. That can simultaneously contend to go deep into October and build a farm system. And if you look at when they've won World Series this century, okay, they've won four this century, which I fully acknowledge as a Red Sox fan is amazing, and many people thought it wouldn't happen, and I appreciate
that. Considering there was one the previous century, okay,
right,
fair enough.
Right, but, so they've won four. In all four of those instances, KJ, they've been a top three team in payroll. And in all four of those instances, they also got some contribution somewhere from a younger player or a couple younger players that helped them get over the top. So the Red Sox are one of those few teams that should be able to, yes, contend every year and build through the farm system. And they've made a decision over the past few years not to do that. Started after the 2021 season to me when they let Schwarber go and decided not to re-sign a bunch of their other guys. You could even trace it back to the Mookie Betts trade if you want. But they've made a decision. And honestly, look, KJ, I hate to be one of those I told you so people, but
you're about to be an I told you so person.
You and I told everyone this was going to happen.
I did predict in a song in March, pray for 80 wins. How many wins they got right now?
Are they at
80?
Yeah.
80.
But here's why I say this. You and I sat here in January and we said, hey, they're screwing up right now and they're not going to make the playoffs because they are not going after any of the great pitchers that are available. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Like, think about the pitchers that were available this offseason.
Well, Giolito could have gotten them to 83 wins, I think.
Yeah, maybe 81.
Maybe they're just still the conversation.
Yeah, the guy that had a 6 ERA the last 2 months of the season last year would have helped a lot. Like, if you look at Yamamoto was a free agent, Aaron Nola was a free agent, right? Sonny Gray, Blake Snell, Shoto Imanaga, all free agents. The Red Sox could have signed any one of those guys. We talk all the time about their great prospects. Look at Dylan Cease and what he's doing for the Padres right now. They could have gotten any of those guys, even the pitchers in Florida who ended up not moving. How about Seth Lugo, who was a Cy Young contender for most of this year?
I've got to settle you down because I can feel you hyperventilating.
No, but it's frustrating, KJ, in that we saw you. If you and I saw this coming, you can bet your life the Red Sox front office saw this coming.
Or maybe we're in the wrong industry. Maybe we can use this as a stepping stone to get into some type of major league front office.
All these guys available. And you could have got, again, some of them were free agents, some of them were trade pieces. So whatever avenue you wanted to go. And Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show today talked about the extra left-handed bats in the minor leagues. Well, those guys were there last year, too. You could have dealt them as well. I mean, I actually went through and put together a Red Sox equivalent package for Dylan Cease.
Don't do that.
And I'm not
going
to go through it all. But what I'm saying, all I'm saying is it would have not included any of the big three prospects. It would not have included Christian Campbell either. So they could have got Dylan Cease without dealing those guys.
Well, in fairness, John, you don't know what the other side wants.
I know exactly what they got. I know what the White Sox got for Dylan Cease, and the Red Sox could have put together a better package without any of their top three
or
four
prospects. It doesn't mean that other team would say yes. I'm just saying that.
I understand what you're saying, but the Red Sox have a farm system that Maybe not as quite the same as the Padres, but it's roughly equivalent, I think, in some areas. I know it's got a gluttony of those outfielders and those middle infielders, but they could have put together a package to get him, or they could have signed any of those free agents. They made a decision last December. They were not going to do that.
Here's what's going on, John, and this reminds me of my ex-girlfriend. She didn't have to buy anything.
Am I better looking than her?
This is not even going there. But all you have to do is just pretty much grocery shop. So would come back with all the generic items. Nothing but generic items. Like, I'm like, okay, so there's nothing else you have to pay for, and you're going to spend on generics? Like, you can sneak in some Tide. You don't have to get, Spied or whatever it's called. This is, you have to mix it together. I'm not saying you have to buy all high-end groceries, but don't come back in with all, like, no frills. That's old Pathmark term there. Some no frills groceries saying, hey, this is a way of saving money, because at the end of the day, it's not going to taste well. I don't know. What is your favorite cereal?
Nut Cheerios.
Okay, so would you buy like oat nuts?
No.
The knockoff, right?
No.
Because eventually.
I'd rather not have the cereal, to be honest.
Okay, so if you're the Red Sox, at some point you have to say, we're going to have to spend for some of the Tide items in the laundry detergent area, and maybe we'll try out some of these Oat-O's to see how they work. Because all these names that you mentioned, like they've turned out, none of them are really high-ticket items, and the only high-ticket item you have...
I disagree with that. There's a lot of high-ticket items that they chose not to get.
No, I'm talking about on the team, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah.
See, that's how annoyed I am about all these pitches they didn't get.
That's why I'm saying take a breath. KJ in line, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're here to 7:30. Let's go to Michael in Saugus. Thank you so much for calling the underrated but overappreciated KJ and Lyons. You're on the air talking Red Sox.
I agree with you. I cannot stand this front office. I honestly wish that they would sell the team. It seems like the Red Sox have become like a fourth or fifth stepchild in their portfolio. We've always been contenders. There's no reason, like you were talking about with the pitching. You got Craig Breslow in there, who was a former pitcher, who should know they need pitching, yet they dropped the ball on every single potential free agent that they could have picked up for next to nothing. So I'm going to hang up and let you guys discuss.
Michael, thanks for the call. Let me play devil's advocate for a quick second about believing whether Breslow made the calls and people said no, or do you think there was kind of like a... yeah, good luck with that. And that's because of what you've seen over the past several years when Chaim Bloom was here, right? Because even though Chaim Bloom is gone, the management above him is still here. So if you're a free agent or looking for that long-term, high-paying deal, are you really looking at the Red Sox anymore?
Yeah, unless you're getting overpaid, you're not right now. And they're not overpaying guys. Like, so it's kind of a vicious cycle, if you will. Yeah.
Well, you're seeing it with the football team, right? Like, you can't get free agents here. I don't think you can get free agents for the ball club as well, because there's probably a feeling of these guys are not going to really pay, and I'm in a division that's going to be with the Yankees. I've seen how Baltimore has done it from the ground. I mean, they've got their own farm to market, right?
They traded for Corbin Burns. That's a name I didn't even mention. Even Baltimore, and you're right, they built it all through the farm, and I tip my cap to them. Even they traded for Corbin Burns.
Right. So, but here's the thing. What if Breslow tried to make a move for Corbin Burns and they were like, nope, not interested? What do you do then?
See, if there was only one guy on the market, KJ, I would appreciate your devil's advocate and say, yeah, okay. There were so many guys available, it is not plausible that they could not have got any of these guys. Like, even like Shoto Imanaga, what do you get, a 4-year deal for $53 million? The Red Sox couldn't have offered 4 and 60 and they would have got him. Like, how much different would this rotation look if you had Imanaga and Cease at the top of it, right? I'm not even talking about Yamamoto.
What if Mookie Betts is Michael Corleone right now? People making quick calls. Tell me what you think about Boston.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, because these are the guys that were homegrown, right? It always says how you treat your own, because you would figure if you're a free agent, if they don't treat their own well, why would they treat me well when things start to slip or go bad, right? So sometimes it's about how you treat your own, whether free agents want to come.
Like, Blake Snell got a 2-year, $62 million deal coming off a Cy Young Award. And I know he had a bumpy first month or so. Since then, he's been great.
Or the team.
But, like, you can't you can't look me in the eye and say the Red Sox couldn't have beaten 2-62. Like, if you want to say, okay, they didn't want to pay Yamamoto $300 coming from Japan, like, okay.
Will we ever know, like, if that number was even put up there?
But I'm saying, even if you told me the Red Sox didn't want to do that, I could at least buy that because, hey, $300 million for a guy that's never pitched in the league, like, okay. But all these, like, Aaron Nola got 172 over 7, like, you didn't want to pay that? Like, Blake Snell, 2-62. Imanaga, 4-53. Cease and
again,
Burns.
Devil's advocate, you might have wanted to pay something close to that, or they weren't even returning your calls.
If you're offering the most money, they're going to return your call.
Like Calvin Ridley.
And if you've got to pay $10 million more, you're the Red Sox and you can afford it. They've done it in the past when they've wanted to.
But that's because there was a destination and there was a farm system being built up.
But there wasn't a destination when David Price signed. They had finished in last place three of the last 4 years.
Yeah, but the Red Sox and Yankees were still an active competing thing. In fact, the Yankees were on the bad side of that thumb. Yeah. Look, I'll tell you what. We got to get to break. We'll get to Carl and Westfield next. Plus your calls here. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Now it's time to trend with Jackson Burns.
We've got an early over for the college football card.
I was going to say, that was a very impressive
sound. Yeah, no, sorry, I hit the wrong button. I'm coming, I'm here.
So, now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, well, that was smooth. The Red Sox have now officially been eliminated from the playoff contention after losing to Blue Jays 6-1 last night in Toronto. The Sox will have the day off today and will close out their season with a 3-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays starting tomorrow night. First pitch at Fenway at 7 o'clock across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Network. The Bruins preseason will continue tonight. The Bees will be in New York to take on the Rangers. Puck drops at 7 from Madison Square Garden. The Patriots back on the practice field today as they get ready for their Week 4 match against the 49ers. Michael Onwenu and Jabril Peppers were both full participants in yesterday's practice. And Week 4 in the NFL kicks off tonight as the Cowboys will be in New York to take on the Giants. Kickoff at 8:15. Don't forget, you can hear that game right here on WEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:30. And I'm going to blame that little snafu on Mr. John Lyons. Because, KJ, you don't know this because you didn't hear it, but before we started the show,
Wait.
I offered to do the trending, and Jackson said he wanted to do it. The only rule is don't mess it up.
He said, don't F it up, boy. And then he gave me
a
real stern
language?
Look.
Do you know HR's number for corporate?
Yep, and I already called.
That's what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lyons Madness next. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Alex Cora talking about the Red Sox straight out of wild card. John, it's just, you can hear it in his voice. And he is kind of correct. The prognosticators at the beginning of the season said this is an 81-win team. That just means they've got to win 1 out of 3. But who wants to finish going out losing more games at home than you win in the last series, when that has been the theme this year of losing at home?
It's been a crazy thing. I mean, you go all the way back to that very first, you know, homestand of the season where they were bad at home then, and they've been a subpar home team.
Now, in fairness, they did get swept by the Orioles in 2021 and made it to the ALCS. So I don't really put a lot of stock in, like, opening weekend series.
No, but I'm saying it's been all the way, like, since then. You know what I mean? Like, it's like not like, oh, they didn't play well that opening series.
Oh, it's just been bad all year at home, yes.
Right. Like, I mean, they're 37-41 at home. So they could win all three against
Tampa.
So that's
41 times you heard Sweet Caroline, and it was still a loss.
Yeah, like, they could sweep Tampa, and they'll still have a losing home
People
record.
Get on me, but that's not why they lost. Look, if you like it and you like your Truly drinks, that's cool if that's why you're at the game.
Sucks.
There are some people who are there who want to see the team win. Sometimes when you're in the load, you know, you see someone who just suddenly, like, in the middle of the game, they just got their back turned to the field. And I'm like, God, let's all get in the photo. It's like, would you get out of the way? It's 1st and 3rd, and I got to see if these guys have figured something out. You do kind of have that dynamic going.
Spoiler, they haven't figured it out in a while.
Get back in the photo.
There's something Cora said there, though, that needs to be addressed. He said, okay, the prognosticators didn't expect us, you know, to be here down the stretch.
Yeah.
And he's correct. But think about what that means in the bigger picture. This is now the 4th time in 5 years they've gone into a season with bottom tier expectations? And maybe you want to say three times because maybe 2022 people thought they'd
be
better.
Do they have the expectations or they just don't have the talent on the field?
No, but that's the problem. That is what this has evolved to. Where it used to be they would come into a season. And when I say used to, it's not that long ago. Like 2018 was only 6 years ago. It used to be where they would come into a season and you would expect, hey, this team's going to be playing in October. Now it's, okay, we expect they're probably going to be at the bottom of the division, and if they don't finish last, like this year, it's considered a step forward and an improvement. Like, they have warped things so much that people are happy that they didn't finish last in the division.
We blew it.
What you just said, I have some amazing math for it you will not believe. 617-779-7937. We're 20 minutes away from a parody regarding the Patriots. We'll get into the Patriots talk as well. Let's get to Carl in Westfield talking about the Red Sox. Carl, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, guys. I like the intelligence, and I can help sort out the idea with this reality. What you're saying is, you don't spend the money to get the talent. And KJ said, it's not necessary you're going to get an agreement and they're going to come over here. And your friend says you can offer them a little more money. It's a bidding process. And here's the point of what you're saying. An example, the answer to what you're saying is in the statement. When Pete Carroll left here and couldn't get it done and wins the World Super Bowl, and when Mookie was okay, now he's super Mookie, sometimes circumstances and conditions and the way they come together and the way they mesh as a team is the unseen factor. However, it's hard to criticize when you're saying we won four world championships in the new era, and then I agree with Mr. Lyons, and then we suck. You have to put reasonable recourse and due diligence. And to put an immediate example, when they bought Aaron Rodgers a front line with superstars, you can do that. You can buy a front line. You can't buy a baseball team. And pitchers and hitters and managers all jelly. That's a lot more complicated. So what Cora, it's hard. He has to do what he's given. And I agree, you know, if you want to build for the future, at some point, you got to start by giving them a good start. And then when he gets a good start, like, okay, can you control if someone else takes him away? You know, it's not a simple cut and dry answer, but the reality is by you arguing, you'll figure it out. And trust me, if Cora can do it, get the talent, we'll be right back up on the top. And let me ask you in closing question. There were times this team gave us such a tease. They're a thrilling young keyword. Do you think it's realistic a new young team to go out and be established veterans? I don't. And they did a lot better than we thought. How do you feel in 2 or 3 years if they stay together? Do you think it's going to keep happening?
Carl, thanks for the call. Real quick, and then we'll get to Paul here next. So I think, John, the best way for young leadership to get to that next level of being the leaders of the team is by getting some leaders in here who can help out show what you do as a professional. Like, I think JD Martinez is like the ideal photo of what came here to help with the Red Sox, a guy who wasn't from here but was able to acclimate and show what it was like to be a day-to-day pro as these guys were getting better. Now, Biantiende, he's still trying to figure out where his career is, but in terms of like Bogarts and Devers, and Mookie was already on his way there, it was like, okay, you bring in JD Martinez, and now you say, all right, we can watch to see how a pro's pro does it. And keep in mind, it's not like Martinez had been in the league for 50 years at that point. But it had more service and was successful in this league. So I think you have to go get help for Devers. There are going to be questions about, like, okay, if you're going to be the high-paid guy, you've got to have some type of voice in the locker room.
Yeah, and I think another example of that is David Ortiz, too, right? He was his last few years, was the first few years of Bogarts and Betts and those guys,
right.
And I think that's so to the caller's point, like, the Red Sox are one of those teams. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I mean, look at their team that won the World Series in 18. Okay, they had the highest payroll in the MLB, and they had Sale, and they had Martinez, and they had Price, but they got big contributions from Mookie Betts and Xander Bogarts, guys that were homegrown. Devers was big in that playoff run as well, like homegrown guys. Christian Vasquez, remember how key he was in that playoff run?
Right.
So those were guys that, like, the Red Sox can have a mix of it and win. And even if you tell me, hey, they can't be the highest payroll every year, that's fine. Like, they've won World Series when they've been the second or third highest payroll. I just think if you're going to be that as far outside of a top payroll as they are, you're just not going to contend for October. And I think thinking it has to be one or the other is just a false equivalency for the Red Sox. Like, if you tell me it's that way for the Royals,
it's like an Arnold Palmer, right? You need to have more tea in there than lemonade.
Right. Like, if you tell me it's that way for some of these other teams, like if the Seattle Mariners, you know, can't be a contender every single year and have to build it up, or the Pirates do, whatever, that's true for them.
Yeah,
the Red
John,
Sox
but
are
John,
one of
you
those
can't
teams
compare
that don't.
You cannot compare this team
point,
to the Seattle Mariners.
The Red Sox are not those, and they act like they are. That's the point.
Paul in Rhode Island. Paul, thanks for the call. You're on KJ Lyons, WEEI. Good evening to you.
Thank you. I thank you for taking my call. I might be disturbed, but I'm going to tell you something about Boston sports. You gypped the fans, almost all the four teams. Almost all the four teams. But I want to tell you something. You had this chance this year of depriving us from going to the games. And, yes, the Young Bucks, they did their job in the Boston Red Sox. But you know what you didn't do? You didn't come through for pitching. What does make you go to the series?
To Paul, all... thanks for the call. Yeah, just because I'm trying to dance through the raindrops there. I'm trying to be nice. But I think what he's getting at is, what you were saying earlier, John, is it comes down to pitching, and I would say this. Where have you, if you're the Red Sox, you have to say, where have we found the most success with the players that we have right now? You might say the Dominican Republic, right?
Off the top of my head, yeah, I think so. But they've done really well in the early rounds of the draft, too.
Okay, but those guys are not here, right?
Sure,
so
yes.
For the guys who are here, like, I'm looking at a map just east of Santo Domingo, east in the Dominican Republic. The Rays are nearby. The Kansas City Royals are nearby. The Astros are nearby. For all these I'm sneaking people in and saying, "Hey, you know, you sick and tired of your producer dancing all in the video? Come to Boston Red Sox Row. We're right
off
of four."
That's a weird reference this week, right?
Like, I got the puffy in there.
Yeah, you said that.
But yeah, because if you've gotten your success, and Brian Bello is supposed to be part of that future success as well, why not hammer home where you are successful? Trying to dance around in the American draft can be dicey, especially with pitching. Now, the other problem is everybody wants to hit the ball in the Dominican Republic, and very few people want to throw, right? So it's about where the money's made. If the Red Sox can establish themselves as, okay, we're going to be the team that pays for pitching. If it means our hitting is so-so or what have you, we've seen that movie, right? And it's not been too bad. But if you establish yourself as the team, let's just take it old school. Let's just say we're going to be like the Atlanta Braves of the late 90s, early 2000s. We're going to find a horse. We're going to pay for horses. And if we've got in-between bats, because you think of those Atlanta Braves teams, Chipper Jones was someone inside of their organization, and David Justice was someone that came up in the organization.
Andrew Jones did too, I think, right?
Right, and even Andrew Jones became more of a power hitter later. He was more speed and defense early. So you've got this pitching stuff, and you figure like, hey, if I got resources in a country where everybody wants to hit and I'm not subjected to the draft laws, then maybe I make myself the team that's known for overspending for pitching. If the fan base can say, you know what, if that's what you've got to do, so that way we're not seeing this. Remember I told you, John, when you mentioned everything since 2018, you want to hear something absolutely fascinating?
Yes.
If you take all of the seasons, take out 2020 because that's the anomaly, average how many wins the Red Sox come up with from 2019 through today? You know what that number is?
You're saying per year average?
Per year average.
Let me guess, 81.
Close. 82.7.
Okay.
How many games do the Red Sox have left with 80 wins so far?
With 3 games left.
They can get their average. So fans, I totally understand, is why are the Red Sox just average? When I call them one of the barstool legs of the league. If you don't have the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers in the conversation, do you really have Major League Baseball?
Yeah, and you could throw the Cubs in there too. Like, those are the four franchises that should be able to be good almost every year, right? With
Cubs have always designed them. You know, what the Cubs are what the Red Sox used to be. Like, hey, I can go take a date, and it's not really about winning. But once you win and you've won consistently, because the Cubs have only won once. Like you said, this team has won 4 this century. So, and in the previous century, they won 1, and it might be on microfiche. So you would have to say, what tastes better, winning or just enjoyable time at the park? And I think some people are kind of like, I'm kind of sick of the whole, auxiliary things to do at the game. Like, win the damn thing.
And then I want to address, too, I think it was Carl in Westfield, two callers ago. He asked at the end of his call, well, what do you think is going to happen if they keep all these guys here and they keep progressing? And I would say two things. A, they are going to get better and they'll be a playoff team. But B, they're still going to be missing a piece to put them over the top to be a champion. And the easy example to use is look at the Houston Astros, right? They built that whole thing from within. But in order for them to finally get over the hump and win a World Series, they had to trade for Justin Verlander, right? That was the final piece for them. So even a team like that built all the way from within, you look at the Dodgers, how many guys they built from within, yet they still traded for Mookie Betts, and that helped them put them over the top and win that World Series a few years ago, right? So They're hoping the same thing with Ohtani and Yamamoto now. But that's the thing. Even if you build all the way from within, you're still going to need to add a horse or two from the outside to put you over the top. That's just the reality of the way in baseball.
John, I'm just saying the Boston Red Sox Baseball Academy in DR is only about like
we should do a show from there.
We should do like a tour show, and we can play spies, right? Because we can go to a Houston Astros one and be like, hey, you guys need to jump up four real quick and come over here. Yeah.
Who was it? Was it the Cardinals that hacked the Astros or vice versa 5 years ago, which should have been the biggest scandal in sports history, and it really wasn't that big a deal?
I mean, okay, we're going to play a little conspiracy theory here, but if I'm Alex Cora, right, and I know I've signed my deal, I'm going down to DR, and I'm going to bang a couple of trash cans about 10 miles away from the baseball, you know, developmental camp that we have there in just on the other side of Santo Domingo. I'd be up there at the Astros, which are right next to the Royals. I mean, I would just, like, the Rays are right next to them, too. So you've got all these academies right there. You'd be like, hey, the Braves are nearby to, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, at some point, you have to start stealing. You might have to do a little bit of criminality, not like real criminality. Hey, you know, start paying. If you're not going to pay the money on the American side, pay the money down around these baseball camps. Just start shelling it out. You see the next Pedro, you see three of them. Pay the money, work with them. Cost much more, get a great pitching coach. Pedro still has a relationship with the team. Look, there are just so many avenues that can make this easy for this team and not spend a bunch of money. Like, if they're not going to spend a bunch of money, okay, they wouldn't be the first franchise that has some historical
title. They're never going to be good again, though, if they won't be willing to spend money.
Well, then you have to get creative.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about getting creative down there, but even that, you're talking about signing 18 and 20-year-olds and hoping one or two of them pan out in 5 years.
How old is Rich Hill?
55,000 years old.
And did he throw a pitch for the Red Sox this year?
Yeah, but that's not a good thing.
Okay, so go look at the 18-year-olds then, okay? Yeah.
Those guys don't come to the majors right away. It's just not how it works.
Well, the guys at the majors aren't even at the majors.
Like, I don't know what you mean.
They're not major league ready. Like, think about it.
If you're the talking guys about now. Yeah, yeah.
What has the conversation been this whole season about the pitching staff? Oh, man, they've never gotten past the fifth inning. Yeah. They've never gotten past the fifth. It's like me in 10th grade. This guy's never gotten past first base. Oh, I'm a great kisser, but gosh, what is a double like? What is a triple like? Oh, my God, a home run? I wouldn't tell my friends. So at some point, you have to get creative if you're not going to spend. The inverse is we need to be financially successful before we can be creatively successful. But because this is a creative thing, like sports, go be creatively successful. You can save money. You could save money.
But isn't this whole discussion part of the problem? Like, we're talking, and again, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying.
You think it's 30,000 footish?
But we're talking about them getting creative and signing prospects overseas or in the when they could just sign and trade for really good players like they did.
But here's
for
20 the thing
years.
You don't have the leverage on the trade, John.
I don't care. They have enough good prospects they could trade for and/or sign with money. Any of these great pitchers they wanted to, and they have made a decision for 3 years now not to do that. And that is the root of this problem. Whether it was John Henry or Tom Warner or Chaim Bloom and then Craig Breslow, whoever made that decision or whatever group made that decision, that is the root of all these problems that they have had the last 3 years.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get to more of your text and calls here in minutes. So John and I are going to produce a series. This is compelling radio. It's television on radio, and it's coming Tuesday night. Jackson, hit the promo.
A Red Sox team that lost more at home than they did on the road. Pitching woes throughout the season. A team that chased the wild card until Detroit ruined everything. Tune into Autopsy, the final hours of the Red Sox, with Dr. John Lyons and a fake doctor, KJ what? Carson, Tuesday, 6 p.m. on WEEI.
John, that's must watch, listen to.
Chills.
Autopsy.
Goosebumps right there.
Fake Dr. KJ? Well, what is that? What is that about, though?
I feel like it's almost as good as a Ken Burns documentary.
It could be. So Tuesday, we will do an autopsy. So look, we got to let the patient die first before we can do the autopsy, right?
That would be true, yes.
Right. So we can't do the autopsy while they're still living and have three games to go. I mean, I know perceptively they are dead, but we've got to wait until like the patient is actually dead and get it to the coroner. And then John and I will look at the head, which would be like Breslow and Kennedy and even Henry. We'll look at the head, examine the head and the body, and determine through the autopsy, the final hours of the Red Sox, what happened.
Yeah. We'll be on the case.
Look, do we have to look?
It's
going to
be a deep autopsy too. There's a lot of costs.
How about
the Tigers? By the
don't
way,
don't eat any cookies inside the autopsy room because that's not proper etiquette there, John.
The Tigers traded away Jack Flaherty and then ended up now in a spot where they're probably going to make the playoffs.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Like Detroit, like what is it that Detroit did? And I think it really comes down to culture, right? Because
but they also have a guy
Google, right?
Who's going to win the Cy Young. That's what the Red Sox do not have.
But he's
that
one of their
guy.
Own. But Schoolboy is one of their own.
And you're correct. I actually saw him pitch in person last year for WEEI. That was cool. It's pretty cool to see in person.
So you don't want to miss Autopsy, the final hours, presented by Dr. John Lyons, who's really a doctor. Aren't you really a doctor?
No, I just have two master's degrees.
Two masters. So what is it?
It should be called, two masters should get me a doctorate. I might go back and get a doctorate for the show purposes.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah,
just so you and Jackson can call me Doc. I might get a doctor for that sole purpose.
Yeah,
not to make the world a better place, just so you can call me Doc.
Doctor for spite.
Yes.
Doctor
spite
for spite.
Doctor.
The spite doctor.
Didn't
it's cage.
We did a bit like a spite doctor thing, I think, a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
It just randomly came to my head. I think we did something like that.
We've done a lot, and we'll do some more next because we'll get the conversation started about the Patriots. Your text as well at 37937. KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. Good Thursday to you. KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Good Thursday to you. We're here with you until the pregame for the Giants and Cowboys, which would have been an exciting game in the late 80s. I shouldn't say something like that, John, should I?
Maybe 10 years ago, too, right?
Maybe 10 years ago.
Was it 2015, the Odell Beckham catch?
Yeah, that was the Giants-Dallas game.
They were both pretty good then, right? Or am I wrong? Maybe they weren't good.
Right. You know what it is? It's just one tends to be progressively good in their division, and the other one seems to be consistently bad in their division, and it's never both of them the same at the same time.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point.
Yeah, I mean,
except like 07. Honestly, I think 07 was the last time they were both great.
You want to hear something crazy? The year the Patriots went undefeated and then lost to the Giants,
that's
obviously,
that
in the
year.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, 07.
You remember when the Giants played the Patriots and lost like around like week 11 or something like that?
No, it's the last game of the year.
Last game of the season.
38-35. Patriot win.
And I remember saying to myself at that time, I don't know why we're getting into this Giants rabbit hole, but I guess because I mentioned that's the game coming up, I was like, if that front four gets a little bit of better of a chance to get to Brady, if they see each other again in the Super Bowl, this could be a problem. And kind of happened.
We really have to blame the Cowboys, who were the one seed and lost a home divisional game to the Giants. It's really their fault.
Yeah, but the Giants had a really good front four.
No, they were awesome. Isn't that before
Justin Tuck blew his fingers off? Or
Jason Pierre-Paul. He wasn't on that team. Yeah, that was Strahan, Tuck, Umanyora, the fourth guy. But they were awesome.
They'll probably all be considered for Hall of Fame. Obviously, yeah. Strahan's already there. All right, we'll get to Patriots talk at the top of the hour. Then I've got a parody about why the quarterbacks for the Patriots can't throw the ball deep. It's something simple, and it does bring Alex Van Pelt into question. Also, keywords to the Come Big 103 and Gigolo. 37937. Jackson, what do you have on the text line?
We got a couple of good texts here, KJ. We got the Sox did not bring it to the end of September. The schedule brought them to the end of September.
That's good.
How do you bookmark that? That's something that, because it's absolutely right. It's And again, you don't want to miss Autopsy, the final hours of the Red Sox by Dr. John Lyons and Dr. KJ Carson. I will break down part of the proteins with just the absolutely horrible month-by-month record. So the texture is absolutely right. It was just bad all along except for one good heartbeat during the season. Next text.
Yeah, and then so you talked about maybe getting some discount players, even if you don't want to spend a lot of money. My wife hates when I bring back the discount chicken.
I hate the discount chicken.
I hate it for your wife. She's probably like, oh my gosh, speed dial Mylanta or doctor. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, if you're one of those, and look, I don't want to get into anybody's pocket because that's kind of the conversation that's going on now. But like, if you're one of those that says, hey, I have disposable income and I'm going to buy off just all off brand in the house, like, is there something, guys, that you would not take off brand no matter what?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. Coffee really is the first for me.
All right. Yeah. I'm kind of weird with coffee. I only drink coffee once or twice a week, so I always buy really high-end coffee.
Are you human?
Yeah, no. I know I'm weird about it. Yeah. Trust me. I get it shipped in from, like, California or overseas. I get
so
high-end
I can't
stuff.
Really knock you. I used to do that with this old coffee. What was it called? It went out of business, but it was in Seattle. Tully's. And then I had it one time because I used to not be a coffee drinker. And then I became Will Ferrell in Kicking and Screaming with the cappuccino machine. I was like, oh, my God, I need to have this. I was getting like whole bean and having it shipped.
Wow.
So I get it. I get it. That's why I take the shot.
So you know what? Actually, I might just agree with you there because I only have coffee once or twice a week. So I want to get the good stuff.
Yeah.
So
you wouldn't buy a store brand coffee.
Yeah.
Probably.
I guess you know what? I'm just going to agree with Jackson there.
I'm kind of on the, it could be off-brand, but I guess it like one versus two-ply tissue, like don't bring the one-ply tissue.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Off-brand is okay, honestly, but you got to find the right.
I feel any
right.
cleaning products, like I wouldn't get like off-brand Lysol wipes. Like remember during COVID when, you know, no one could get Lysol wipes?
I think those are okay.
I got the off-brand ones and I just didn't like them. Or even like
they'll dry out faster, right? Yeah. They dried out like 2 minutes later. Yeah, if you like leave
off-brand
it open
Windex
night.
Too.
Now, I'm convinced the dollar store dish detergent pods, I'm convinced they're filled with water.
The dollar store?
Dish detergent
pods?
Yeah.
There's no way I would take a chance with that. There's like no effort. Like there's no way that one single pod is worth that much less than
$1. Drop of soap in it. Probably food coloring instead of
it was a little alarming.
Yeah.
37937 text line 617-779-7937. So John, I try not to do too many of these songs unless there's something that I see. So I don't like to be a music machine. But something came to me, and it's inspired by Big 103, and this is why the Patriots can't throw the ball deep. Hit it, Jackson. Can we get on some of this Van Pelt play calling? I mean, Brissett, May, they can't set their feet.
No.
That's why you can't see them go deep.
Uh-huh.
Please help these guys fast.
When it's third and long and you want to go deep, 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 deep. And it's down to the movement of the O-line's feet. I can see all the things that you're screaming about. Bow, 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 bow. Van Pelt and the playbook, man, the truth comes out.
Ow, 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 ow. Three and out.
Don't tell me it's run leaning. Don't tell me it's defeating. Don't tell me it's receiving, 'cause you know that I'm right. We all saw it Thursday night. I know why the Pats can't throw deep. The QB can't set his feet. I know why the Pats can't throw deep.
The QB can't set his feet.
I know why the Pats can't throw deep. The QB can't set his feet. I know why the Pats can't throw deep.
The QB can't set his feet.
Yo, shout out to Big 103, man, for the inspiration. That brother KJ done it once again. The quarterbacks can't set their damn feet. John. That's like an older 80s tune.
Not as good as Who's on the Mound. That's the peak.
That's not the idea. Because every album doesn't have 24 bangers on it. But the idea is, and plus, you know, there are over a million women in Middlesex County, right? So I'm trying to kind of pull some of them in, too. They like sports.
Okay.
They like that song.
I love that song.
See, Jackson, and when Jackson's not a woman.
Is he even from Middlesex County?
Well, here's the thing. He did have some women tendencies when he ducked me when I tried to invite him to play college football online. I'm like, I sent him the invite. I don't get it. And then who texted me yesterday? Oh, hey, can we play a game real quick? And I was like, he's not even including John in this. I think what Jackson's trying to do, and be honest, Jackson, you're trying to gauge if you're good enough to play John and if you can beat me as well as John beat me, so that way it's a talking point?
You might be right, a little bit right about that. Yeah,
there you go.
I heard that there's a whooping that happened, and it was not you.
And you thought I was going to be the next one, huh?
I'm not going to say there are any names, but there was more than one.
No, you're touching the third rail there, Lions. The final half hour of KJ Lions next. The Patriots, Drake May, when is this guy going to get in there? What's the double talk and double speak happening? We got to get into that next here on WEEI. Good Thursday to you. Final half hour of KJ Lines on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Thank you so much for hanging out. Keywords still to come. Ramondre Stevenson, Joe Castiglione, San Francisco 49ers, Reggie Jackson, Gigolo, Kyle Shanahan, Oakland A's. That's Jerod Mayo there. And I'm going to kind of do a little ageism here. Maybe instead of showing them a mirror, just do like a selfie of yourself and then show it to the players, because they'd be like, what does the mirror mean? What is the mirror? Oh, a selfie. I can look at myself. You see what I'm saying, John? Sometimes you have to reduce 2/4 down to 1/2.
Yeah, and his point about it's all our fault, I think, especially after last Thursday night, pretty accurate. So
for the offensive line, right?
Because the whole offense as a whole, but especially, yeah, the O-line's at the top of the list.
So, and I know that if you just heard the parody about Alex Van Pelt and the play calling, but it really comes down to the offensive line not allowing the quarterbacks, because I think Drake may see more mop-up duty action on Sunday. That could very well happen. They just can't get their feet set. And so this is, like, I'm asking, why am I not seeing screens, you know, more screenplay, something quick, line action versus waiting, you know, because you, what was it last week? I said, if you counted the two Mississippi, is Jacoby Brissett sacked, hurt, or is it incomplete?
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby was sacked 5 times. It could have been 8 or 9. And then right. Drake May was sacked twice, hit 2 other times on 1 drive. And here's another piece of this, which I have not heard anyone talk about, KJ, but I have an interesting stat for you. A lot of people have said, oh, we'll run the ball, right? Ramondre Stevenson, that's going to help a young quarterback when you put May in. You know, Ramondre Stevenson has the 5th most yards after contact in the NFL for running backs.
That makes sense, because he's getting been pinballing. Yes.
That's the point, right? Like, so it's not even like they're run blocking that well. Like, yes, he's put up some yards that have been pretty good, but you take him, like, if you have to put Gibson in for a few plays, or Stevenson, God forbid, gets hurt, or even just over the course of a season, that's not going to sustain itself, being 5th most yards after contact in the NFL and being able to run the ball well. It's worked for a few weeks or so, but this line, not only are they not pass blocking well, they're really not run blocking well either.
And that's a problem, because, hey, that's what you push the sleds for, yep. Right? It's right, like, to get forward momentum. And you mentioned Gibson, and this is not on him, but I think this kind of goes to the Alex Van Pelt. If I'm a defense and I see Gibson in the game, I'm thinking he's really coming in as an additional receiver, right? Like, I'm not surprised at anything. I'm just surprised I'm not seeing more usage of Ramondre Stevenson as a receiver. What was it, last year or the year before? I can't remember. They were both bad. I think it was the year before. He was the team's leading receiver.
In 2022, I think.
That's right.
Did he have like 50 or 60 catches, something crazy like that? Yeah.
Right. So doesn't hurt to use that now as well, especially when you know that defenses are going to be stacking the box, not believing that you can get the ball deep, and knowing, right, that almost factual, that your offensive line can't stop anybody coming in. So here's what's concerning to me, and this is what you're seeing around the NFL, is having a good to above decent offensive line is not normal.
Oh, yeah, the offensive line play across the league has been bad. I mean, the Patriots have been the worst, but there's been a lot of bad offensive line play across the league.
Right, so what if the Patriots don't get considerably better on the line, and what does that do to Drake May?
Oh, they're not going to this year. Like, can they get a little bit better? I do believe they can, but considerably better is going to take a whole nother offseason. Like, you're not going to magically find a good left tackle in week five.
So just in an observatory way, maybe 3 years from now, you would say this should be an above mid-level top offensive line in the league.
I would say so. Here's
top 15.
Yeah, I would say next year I think they can be a solid one. The year after that, which would be what 26, they could be good. But that's again, do you take a left tackle with your first pick next year? Or do you hit on all these things? We don't have to go fully down that road. But the point being, you got to get those things right this coming off season in order to jumpstart.
What if you don't get it right?
And if you look at where they're at. Okay, they don't have a left tackle, but also, how much longer is David Andrews going to play? Like, he's had some injuries, he's on the wrong side of 30. Frankly, against the Jets, he didn't look that great, and I'm not...
That's okay,
might just
at
be
least he's performing and aged in time. Nobody's undefeated against Father Time.
But if you look at, okay, but when are they going to have... Well, then they're going to have to replace him, right? And then we still don't know what they're going to do on the rights, like...
Can Cole Strange play center eventually?
Right, exactly. And then, like, okay, on Onwenu's a great right guard. Right now he has to play right tackle, so do you want to find another right tackle? Like, so that's the issue, is they have two or three pretty... They have one major question, who's your left tackle? But they have two or three other sneaky, really important questions that they need to answer in the next 12 months if they're going to actually have a good offensive line again.
Or if they're going to have the best Drake May that you can potentially get, because I think there's very little room for error for Drake May as he ascends because of the way of the quarterback style play that's in the league. Okay, so look at just last year's AFC playoffs, the QBs. Stroud, Jackson, Allen, Mahomes, Tua, Flacco, and Pickett. All right, Pickett's the anomaly. So is Flacco. Tua, we can almost probably cross out. We don't even know if this guy has a career anymore. So for those who think that, hey, Drake May could be a Josh Allen, I would say, do you really want Drake May to be that much of a runner?
But if he's in that ballpark, I'm okay with it.
But here's the thing. I think Drake May either has to create his own ballpark, because I don't think maybe the Joe Burrow ballpark may be more realistic than a Josh Allen, where Josh Allen is aggressive with his running.
Yeah. Or even the Mahomes, and I'm not saying he'd be Mahomes, but that style, I feel like Mahomes only runs once or twice in a game, but it has a big impact, right? Yeah, it converts a third down.
Mahomes is a virtual joystick.
No, but my point being, like, if that's the style, okay, you only run once or twice a game, but you do it at an impactful moment, I think that is pretty sustainable over 17 games.
Yeah, I just think they're just going to be too many impactful third downs.
You're probably right. Yeah.
Right, you know, it'd be like, it's third and seven again. We've got to do this.
Yeah.
So if you look at the previous season, now you're talking about Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Herbert, and Tua. So now you say, okay, maybe Herbert, but I still see struggles with Herbert. I think people are more in love with what he can be than what he's turned out to be so far. If you said, okay, Drake May is going to have a similar trajectory and results as the Chargers have had, what would your response be?
So if he can be similar to Justin Herbert, I would take that.
Okay, but would you like those same Chargers results?
No, I would want the team to be better. But I think the team would be better in that the Chargers have been pretty mismanaged over the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, this team is in a rebuild, and usually rebuilds mean that you don't have solid things in place. So that's why I say even those who go, hey, maybe he's like a Justin Herbert, like, you can fall in love with tools all you want. For example, all this rain that's going on, and thank you for those who are in the car. Thanks for listening. This rain has been an absolute pain, and well, really, the rain isn't a pain. It's the drivers. But today,
my drive to the studio was not ideal.
Bro, mine today, I was a hero. I woke up this morning, my right windshield wiper stopped working. I was like, great, on a day that what, rains?
Going to keep you in my thoughts and prayers.
Well, here's the thing. I realized that I actually have the right tools to fix it and realized that, hey, you just can't turn the little knob, screw back in, and then it's going to start firing back up. Pulled out the ratchet, zig it, zig it, zig it, vroom, 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 back to working, because just think about trying to drive around with these folks with only one windshield wiper. But you would almost feel that way if you're Drake May and you know that your offensive line hasn't gotten better. So it's like, okay, you can do some things that make you look good, but through the whole windshield. Damn, that's a preach. It's a big mess. And that would be a concern I would have, that Drake May looks good, everything else does not, and therefore you end up looking like the San Diego Chargers, with what probably would be just as tough a division, maybe a tougher division than what you have in the AFC West.
Yeah, and like I think the focus on May has gotten a little out of whack here, because I think people are so excited to see him. There's an element of, oh, we'll just put him in and he'll be okay and he'll make some plays.
Well, he won't be okay. We saw
that. Yeah, like, well, that's the thing. So, like, and that's like when I watched that Jets game and he got in there at the end, I just don't know how you can walk away from that saying this is the situation to put him in. Like, and I'm not saying to sit him for the whole year. I'm not saying to sit him for 12 weeks. There will be a time this year I think he should play. But, I mean, they're going to start their fourth different left tackle in four games coming right, up this Sunday. Right. Like, their receivers, I think, have been okay and better than last year, but not great.
Yeah.
And then you have a running back in Stevenson that's really good. But you can't just hang your hat on doing that. You have a play caller in Van Pelt, who I thought had a bad game Thursday night.
I think so. That's why the song was made about him.
Exactly, right? So, like, I thought I just didn't like his game plan. I didn't like any of his adjustments. But point being, I don't know how you can watch that and say, oh, yeah, this is the right this is the situation. Like, fourth different left tackle in 4 weeks. Guy got hit four times in one series, sacked twice.
Like, did you notice this had to be like early in the first quarter, but like Jacoby Brissett just had an absolutely nasty rug burn on his arm. It was like
it was bleeding, right?
Yeah. And I'm thinking, damn, it's not even halftime and this dude is just getting sacrificed. I mean,
every
like,
time he gets smoked, I'm like, oh, is now the time Drake May's going to go in? Because I just think of like, he gets hit so hard and so often, it's like, man, is this the one he's hurt on? Is this the one?
That's the tough part to watch. And that's why I say, oh, you really don't, because Drake May even took a couple of those shots.
Yeah, that first sack, I think it was, when he got kind of caught in the open. I was like, ooh.
The one he pretty much got lifted, when you take your little brother and you kind of like do the slam, the Undertaker slam.
Yeah, and that's another piece, too. Like, we've talked a lot about the situation around him. Like, Drake May still needs to add a little bit of weight in his torso, right? And also, he's got some things to develop on his own. Like, he's not just going to go out there and all of a sudden be bigger and stronger than he was a month ago.
Well, see, I think that's what I'm saying about, like, in terms of the quarterback, because I think what also has got people going is because of what Jaden Daniels did against Cincinnati the other night. You know, like a 91%
completion
rate.
Don't have Terry McLaurin and Cliff Kingsbury's not coordinating the Patriots offense. Like, that's the other piece.
The other side I would say to that is you don't have someone who can take off as part of a scripted play. Like, there's going to be several plays inside the playbook for Jaden Daniels to take off and your number is called. You do not want to do that with Drake May. Yeah, he's got the size. He has the ability to get out and run, but you don't want him to have called plays where he's going to be running the ball when you know that that's not his forte. That you drafted him for his arm and not necessarily for his legs. He's not a combo QB, where would Jaden Daniels will say, okay, this guy's a combo QB. I think Caleb Williams, I think the game is just too fast for him. So I think with Drake May, he's one of those guys like, okay, sit him and let those physical attributes of throwing the ball and be able to process the game from the pocket, play action, maybe that's where you make him more dangerous. So maybe you're like, can you make him into a more athletic Kirk Cousins? I would have no problem with that.
And I think the other piece of this too is it's fun to compare like the Patriots situation to Washington or Chicago, and sometimes it's relevant. But I think people lean on that as like, oh, well, Jaden Daniels is playing. Okay, well, it's a totally different situation.
Right.
Like, to me, sometimes, frankly, it's kind of lazy when people do that. Like, oh, Caleb Williams is playing. Well, it's a totally different situation. Like, J.J. McCarthy may or may not have played in Minnesota. That's a totally different situation than what they have in New England. For, you know, and for better or worse, like, whatever it is, that's the thing. Like, Drake May has to be ready himself to play in this situation as it is, because he's not going to walk out there and have Terry McLaurin with Cliff Kingsbury calling plays. He's not going to walk out there and have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison like J.J. McCarthy would have.
He's got Hunter Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry. All due respect, he's not those guys.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We've got a shorty break here next, then we take you up to 7:30. We still got Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or, and Belichick to the Cowboys is a bit of a lazy take again. But
even
right now it's time.
Take that.
But now it's time to trend with Zach Coe. Zach, take it away.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Red Sox have officially been eliminated from playoff contention after losing to the Blue Jays 6-1 the final last night from Toronto. Sox have the day off today and will close out their season with a three-game series against the Rays starting tomorrow night. First pitch from Fenway Park at 7 p.m. across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Bruins preseason continues tonight. Bees are in New York to take on the Rangers. Puck dropped just a little bit ago. Score is still 0-0. A lot of regulars playing for the Bruins tonight, including David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha. Patriots back on the practice field today as they get ready for their Week 4 tilt on the road against the 49ers. Mike Onwenu and Jabril Peppers were listed as full participants in yesterday's practice. And Week 4 in the NFL kicks off tonight as the Cowboys will be in New York to take on the Giants. Kickoff set for 8:15. Don't forget, you can hear that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins right after KJ and Lions at 7:30. Timeout Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of our city under one roof. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
KJ Lyons, WEEI, thank you so much for spending your time with the most appreciated, unknown show in America. I mean, we have our own congregation, John, do we not?
So I've heard. I've heard from some of them.
There are. I don't want to say we have fans, but our family member, they're called the congregation. Zach Coe, our producer, is a member of the congregation. Say amen.
Amen.
See how easy he said that.
He's from the South Shore, so you know it's legit.
We're not gonna have an Old Testament, New Testament battle here inside of the show with 7 minutes left. We're 2 minutes away from Would You Rather, More Likely to, Either Or. 3 minutes away from Belichick to the Dallas talk, leading you up to the Dallas Giants game. John, today an email went out, and it revealed Joe Castiglione's final call here on WEEI on Sunday is going to be one of the magnificent and fantabulous celebrations probably in the history of baseball. When I went through the names, I said, no way. Like, I had to ask, can I say this on the air? It's like, well, it's mostly internal. You don't want to miss Sunday's final call with Joe Castiglione, because the guests that come through, you're going to be like, no way.
Yeah.
Did you see the email, John?
I did, and I cannot wait for that broadcast.
Wasn't your mouth not open at least six times at some of the names you saw? Like,
it's going to be a Hall of Fame end to
don't
a
even
Hall
say,
of Fame career.
Don't that's say it. Okay. I thought you were trying to give away some stuff. Like, no. Don't give away any
just
of the
just that's
stuff
how good right it's going to be.
Final game in the Oakland Coliseum, played for the Oakland A's today. Have you seen this quote from Ricky Henderson? I can't be sad. I've made too much money. Look.
Such an embarrassment.
Well, here's the
thing. For the city of Oakland, for MLB, for the John Fisher
you know what they own, right? They own the Gap franchise. When's the last time you shopped at a Gap?
2001. Maybe. I'm trying to think.
When's the last time the Oakland A's were like a competitive baseball team? Go ahead and give me that same.
Oh, no. 2014. Didn't they make the playoffs when John Lester was there?
I was going to say that was the toss with the Giambi brothers were still there. Yeah.
They did lose to the Red Sox in the ALDS in 2003.
Right. So, yeah. And then I was still shopping at the Gap.
That was
21
years ago. Yeah, that was 20.
Gap, right. So, true story. Years ago when I was in Kansas City, I had a chance to talk to the late, great Buck O'Neill, recently in the Hall of Fame from the Negro Leagues. And Reggie Jackson played his rookie year in Kansas City. The next year they moved to Oakland. He said if the team waited 3 years and stayed in Kansas City, there would have never been a Kansas City Royals, and the Oakland and the Kansas City A's would still be in existence, because he was about to pop and look exactly what happened to that team. And
yeah, they won 53 straight World Series in the 70s.
Right. Within 3 years, they were World Series bound. It was just a matter of this rookie taking off. And I was just like, that's just an incredible story. Like, just to be able to hear gold like that. Like, if they had stayed two more years, the Royals would not exist, and the Kansas City A's would still be the Kansas City. They wouldn't even be moving from Oakland right now.
It's heartbreaking, really, for the people of Oakland, because you look at just over the last, say, 10 years, they lost the Raiders to Vegas. The Warriors built a new arena over in San Francisco.
Well, that's because they've never really invested in Oakland.
The A's now.
After the self-consciousness movement that went on in Oakland in the late 60s, early 70s, which was a movement because it was very positive and it's building its own economy, once that was destroyed, it was like Oakland was on this countdown clock of just, you know, businesses just getting out of there. I mean, it's more of a socioeconomic statement than anything. And right before we get to Would You Rather, what an embarrassment last night that happened with the fans in Indiana at the Connecticut Indiana game. It's just, you know, I give Nick Wright a lot of credit for what he said on FS1. You should pull it up, what he talked about, why that happened. And it reminded me a lot of when fans started throwing objects at NBA players because the NBA players were just coming out of the bubble and people were returning and people were in their feelings about these guys and what they had said. It's almost kind of like, okay, but to do it to women, that's even lower than low.
Yeah, and also, like, why are you doing this in the first place? You know, like,
because you feel like it's a power play. I don't want to get into, like, you know.
No, I know. That's a longer segment, but it's just like, look in the mirror.
People don't have the fear of being punched in the damn face anymore with social media. Like, that used to be cool when someone got their ass kicked.
That high school kid who put Dan Campbell's address out there, so then he had to move because people kept showing up at his house.
Punch them in the face. I'm not calling for it, but damn.
No, but
when you don't have that fear,
you deserve to get hit in the face.
All right. It is now time for the world-renowned Hit It, Zach!
You rather more like the two. Either or I ask of you. You rather more like the two. Either or I ask of you.
All right, three questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
Alrighty, first one. More likely to happen, the Red Sox fans appreciate Craig Breslow's first year or Patriots fans appreciate Elliot Wolf's first year?
John.
I'd say Red Sox fans.
I'm going to say Elliot Wolf. He made some tough decisions, I think, with Breslow. People felt like he could do more, and they didn't see that more. Next.
Either or, give Joe Milton 10% of first-team reps in practice or bump Drake May up to 50% first-team reps.
Drake May, 50.
Yeah, I mean, I know Brissett's probably like, hey, get in there. See what it feels like not to be run over. And finally.
Would you rather be the ugliest man on earth and ranked in the top 10 of wealthiest men in the world, or be one of the world's sexiest men and only have a part-time job making $10,000 a year?
Who's getting into my pockets here?
Yeah, well, if I'm rich enough, I'll have plastic surgery and look better, so I'll take
that. Yeah, but isn't that cheating? I would want to be the kept man, right? Keep me because, hey, if I'm making 10 a year, I can take care of the little things I want to do. And if she wants to break up with me, I'm so good looking, I can just find another host to hang out with for 2.5 years, 3 years.
That's true.
This Belichick talk to Dallas, I think it's so lazy, John.
I don't. I think it's a real fit. I've been since January. Yeah, we should get into this on Tuesday night because I have a theory about it.
Okay, you have a theory about it, and I will say this. I don't think, after what happened here, you really think Belichick wants to pony up next to Jerry Jones and hear everything he's got to say? Yeah, so Tuesday, we're back, 6 p.m. You don't want to miss. We're going to do the autopsy, the final hours of the Red Sox. We will go through deep analysis of the head and the body. If you missed any of the show, the parody, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI and KJ and Lions. Have a great Thursday. Football's next. See you.